Hello. How's it going?
Welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to your midweek Wednesday morning right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. So glad you're along for this 7th day of June 2023. Gang's all here. That would be JR. That's me. Simmer, he's over there. Hammer, he's over there as well. And you're waking up to, yes, another smoky morning in the nation's capital. In fact, well, it's worse this morning than it was yesterday. And yesterday wasn't very good. But this morning, the smoky pall is even thicker. In fact, I'm just reading right now. The Ministry of the Environment, Ontario Ministry of the Environment, puts the average air quality index. So this is normally rated on a scale of 1 to 29, or 1 to 10, sorry, 1 to 10, is rated at 29 in downtown Ottawa. Now, I don't know how on a scale of 1 to 10 you can be a 29, but it is, and that kind of lets you know it's not very good. And that will be the story of the day today. Another very smoky, hazy day. Another day for anybody. Doesn't even matter if you have breathing issues or whatever, underlying health issues. It's not good to be outside and breathing in this stuff for any length of time. And that's going to be here for the entirety of the day today. We could see a little bit of improvement tonight. Tomorrow may be a bit better, but then they're saying Friday could be worse again. So we're going to be dealing this with probably most of the week. But a smoky day today, a high of 17 as you wake up this morning. We're sitting at 11 degrees as we say good morning. Hello, happy Wednesday to Sean Simpson. How are you doing this morning, Simmer?
Excellent, Jer. And yeah, a little surprise. Now very fortunate to be in a home where you can secure things. And I don't think we're running any air conditioning, but at least it was fine in the house. But man, oh man, walking outside and trying to, as soon as I step outside, certainly the smoke, the smell was even stronger. But I'm trying to say, okay, is this cloudy? Is this smoky? And obviously by the reports and seeing the reports downstairs from Rosie Etta. And as far as the weather, yeah, absolutely incredible out there. So be safe and I guess a good day to hunker down and just tune in a little TSN 1200 and just enjoy your day.
As I drove into the city, came up Nicholas. I always kind of look over. There's a nice little vista there of Parliament Hill and everything.
Yeah.
Could not see the flag atop the Peace Tower.
Okay.
That's how thick the smoke is again this morning. This is like, for those that have ever camped in their life, and everybody knows that kind of the smell of smoke. There are times when it just, if there's no air moving whatsoever, where it just kind of hangs about 10 feet above the ground. This is what it's like, only it's about 100 times thicker than it typically is at your local campground.
Yeah, and the power of the jet stream, I saw we're at Yankee Stadium, they were having some of the smoke issues, and I think all the way down to Virginia. So, yeah, pretty, well, I don't, I guess not use the word incredible, but I guess sad. So I had not even followed yesterday, JR, as to where the fires are at. Are they getting any closer? Or this is,
you guys got rain yesterday? Sort of late afternoon?
Yeah, we did. Man, oh, man, we had now
15 or 20 minutes.
I've never heard of thunder smoke. Did you hear
that
term yesterday?
Yeah,
at the Ottawa Airport. First time we've had thunder smoke. It reminds me of the Ted movie where they were thunder buddies. But yeah, well, it was really going, but it was also kind of sad because I was just hoping for just a big downpour. And we got a little bit, little spits and little drops, but not a whole lot. What about you?
I'd say it rained pretty steady for about 10 minutes.
Okay, yeah, we didn't. Did you have it, Hammer? Because ours was just kind of I was just really hoping for just a good old clean it up downpour and didn't feel it at all.
Yeah, I was waiting to pick up my son at Algonquin, and I heard the thunder. I heard the cracks, and that was wild. No rain. I dropped him off at work. I got home, and we had maybe 2 minutes of a little drizzle.
Yeah,
that was out in Canada. We hogged all the rain, so sorry about that. But we needed it.
What's
really
new?
Bad. So yeah.
What's
well,
new
you know,
there?
You got to take care of who takes care of you. So it's all good.
Yeah.
Anyway, there is no. Well, that was only supposed to be a 30% chance of rain yesterday. So the fact that we got any is actually pretty good. And that's actually the story of the next few days: 30% chance of rain every single day. But overall, it's cloudy. Not that you'd know because, again, the smoke is so thick that you really don't know what's going on. It is actually a little bit on the chilly side.
It is.
We'll say that. So there's no need to be running your air conditioning or anything like that.
No.
Only 11 degrees outside right
now. I was scrambling this morning and I grabbed it's a very, very light winter coat. It's the equivalent of having a sweatshirt. So just relax, guys. But I'm just saying, I didn't have anything around. I'm like scrambling. I'm like, well, I don't want to go back up and wake Mirror up. So I'll end up doing that. So it ended up being okay. Now, I also yesterday said, I wonder what the Red Blacks are going to do. Do you think they'll? Now, they did practice in Aberdeen Pavilion yesterday.
They did.
Did they not? Yeah, so it made a whole lot of sense. And obviously, all the activities. I think the only team that was practicing was Hammer's baseball team, which I think for the kids and the high school kids aren't even in the tournament anymore.
All
and
shut
he still,
down.
Still had them out in the field. So
no practice. That's fake news. That's lies. Didn't happen.
What the part that disturbs me is that you didn't even invite the coaches of the team.
That's the level we've reached now.
That's
huh?
where he's having. Side practice.
It's a personal private practice.
Left field line dad is at work, everybody. Going behind the coach's back.
A secret email. Yeah.
Forget those signs.
They call those in hockey birthday skates?
Oh, really? Is there such thing?
In the summer, oh, yeah. Because the coaches can't be there. Yeah. So they have the captain has a, quote, birthday skate.
Well, we got a bucket of pucks and pylons, and we're going hard?
Well, that's what they do in the U.S. colleges, Hammer. They have the captain skates, right? So it's a way to get on the ice. With the coaches technically not being involved because a lot of the schools in the United States aren't supposed to really start until basically American Thanksgiving.
All right. Anyway, as you get up this morning, you're dealing with smoke again today. We'll keep our fingers crossed. As they said, things might improve a little bit tonight. Maybe tomorrow will be a little bit better than today, but Fireman Canada says Friday could be bad again. So not good. All right, 6:17. Let's take a break. Let's talk about all the great sports stuff that's going on right now. Well, interesting, at least. I don't know about great. Blue Jays had a great outing last night. Certainly Kevin Gausman did. So we've got that for you. And the update on Alek Manoah. And he is going to rookie ball down in Florida to try to figure out what's wrong with him. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Red Blacks, who made it official yesterday. It will be Nick Arbuckle under center and starting a quarterback on Saturday in the season opener at Montreal. Jeremiah Masoli out for the first 2 weeks of the regular season, so we'll go through all of that and let you hear a little bit from our quarterback club last night. Great crowd out at Buster's in Kanata. Thanks to everybody that showed up, and thanks, of course, to the players as well that were there. It was a great evening and a great show here on TSN 1200, so we'll go through all of that for you as well. A big hockey trade yesterday, a three-way deal between Florida, Philly, Columbus, and Los Angeles. It's game three of the NBA Finals tonight, and an absolute stunner from the world of golf as the PGA, the European Tour, and LIV Golf are living under one roof again. We'll go through all of that when we come back right here on Sports Radio, TSN 1200. Dave Poulin is our TSN Hockey Insider coming at you this morning at 8 o'clock. No more hockey again tonight. They were on the two-day break between games, so game three of the Stanley Cup Final will go tomorrow night down in South Florida. Think about what's going on in the next four nights. And if you had let's say you're Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
And you got no LIV Golf to go and play this weekend. Mm-hmm. You're going to the NBA Finals game tonight with the Heat hosting the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, you're going to the Peas game. Mm-hmm. Florida Panthers, as he calls them. Yeah. And I think he's still the only person that calls them the Peas. they'll be hosting game three of the Cup Final. Then Friday night, back to the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday, another Peas game.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. Four nights in a row of final games in the NHL and the NBA.
Yeah, and the one culmination is Saturday night. You can see one of the teams awarded a trophy, which obviously in the NBA, I'm not feeling that. I wanted to go back. I called it in five, but we'll see what ends up happening. Curious on both series. And once again, last night, 8:30 comes around. I'm scrambling around, and I'm like, where is my basketball game? And, of course,
do you not listen to the updates?
I do, JR, but I just, again.
In fact, we may have even had a discussion about the NBA Finals.
The next game was going to be Wednesday. I know, we did. I'm just saying. I was like, okay. Where is my NBA Finals? Sure enough, it's not on. Yeah. So, yeah, be excited to watch that tonight and reconvene back with the hockey. And the hockey world is now heating up, which is making for a whole lot of fun between now and the draft.
Everybody loves a good three-way.
We had
a big three-way trade yesterday. So we'll get into details on that and talk a little bit more about the DeBrincat situation, which continues to bubble here in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to all of that coming up in just a second. I spent a little bit of last night watching some baseball. Watched Kevin Gausman putting on a show.
What a treat he is to watch, though.
And he works quick, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you're striking out guys like he was last night, 13 strikeouts. He's now tied for the Major League lead in strikeouts as Kevin Gausman. Gave up a home run on the second pitch of the night, and after that, Houston got nothing going on all night. 5-1. Was the final. The Blue Jays win it. They got home runs from Bo Bichette and Dalton Varsho and George Springer. So the Blue Jays bounce back after getting smoked in game one with a 5-1 win last night. And of course, game one was the, I guess now, last straw for Alek Manoah. The Blue Jays announcing before last night's game that he has been sent down to essentially rookie ball down in Florida. But he's not even going to be necessarily pitching in a bunch of games. He might pitch in some games, but they're just trying to get him back on track. Here's Jays manager John Schneider on Manoah's reaction to being sent down.
He's frustrated because of the competitor and teammate he is. You know, he says it repeatedly that he just wants to put his team in position to win and help his team win games. So I think, you know, kind of taking that away from him, you know, is what hurts the most. But understanding that, you know, like we've been telling him, we want to really use everything that we can to help him get back to where he was.
And as far as a time frame for when Manoah will be back, John Schneider said, whenever he's ready is when he's ready.
Yeah.
I.e., we have no clue.
Yeah.
So they'll be waiting for him to hopefully, you're a Blue Jay fan, find his form and we'll see him at some point. But it's like this is more of a long-term thing than a short-term thing.
Yeah, I think so. I saw some quotes from Manoah, and the one thing he said, the best part about today is it's not yesterday. And he's also looking forward to tomorrow. So he's going to put some work in. And,
He's down he's down in the area where Coop is.
Well,
so
exactly.
Right,
maybe Coop will come over to Dunedin. And he's got all the computers and stuff, right? Aren't they doing some type of like robotic system hammer where they're going to kind of get him?
Oh, there'll be a whole bunch of analysis. Absolutely. Yeah. He'll look like Drago in Rocky IV, right?
Exactly.
He'll be hooked up to all these machines and trying to figure out.
I got to get that arm slot. Working again, right? Is that what they call it?
I also wonder, because again, it's amazing what happened since that video came out about his fitness level. I do wonder if we'll see a different look to Mr. Manoah as well, whether or not conditioning and with the pitch clock and everything else, whether or not that's something they're going to try to address.
Well, I mean, I disagreed with you early on in the year. I didn't really think so, but I mean, maybe. Maybe that is part of it. Maybe looking at him now, looking at the pitch clock, that, I mean, you can't take your time here. You're right back at it. Mm-hmm. You throw, you get the ball back, you throw again. Mm-hmm. And maybe it has affected him this season. It's so odd and strange to see somebody just fall off the performance level that he has from last year to this year. And so everybody's looking for answers. I'm just glad that the Jays finally did something. I mean, it was really hard not to after giving up six runs and just getting one out in his last start a couple of days ago. So I'm glad that they've got a plan. They're putting it into action. And the timeline is absolutely correct. He'll be ready when he's ready. There's no rush here. Mm-hmm.
So for now, now the Blue Jays did call up a pitcher, Bowden Francis. But I think he's more of a bullpen guy than anything. But they do have some days off coming up, so they may be able to run with four starters for the time being and still pitch every fifth night. And then they still got Hyunjin Ryu at last check, targeted to come back somewhere around the All-Star break, which is about a month or so away. So there isn't some immediate help coming. And again, with no time frame on Manoah, they're going to have to figure something out. And look, if a Manoah thing, if it doesn't get fixed, if they aren't able to fix him, and I think we'll see him again, whether he's, whether they think he's 100% or not, they're going to try him again at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
But with, you know, Ryu, in all probability, coming back, I wouldn't be surprised if the Blue Jays, between now and July 31st is the trade deadline, so there's lots of time, but they're going to make a move, I think, on a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
I don't think you can. This is a team that's built to win, and I don't think you take the chance of, right now, you got two really good starters. Mm-hmm. You got two decent starters. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody's going five across the board in anywhere in Major League Baseball.
No.
And you got Manoah, but you need another one. I think you need another starting pitcher.
So. I would assume with all the money they spent, guys, that not at least being a wild card team would be an absolute failure. Would that be accurate?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
100%. I mean, all the talk was last season was the trailer, and this is the motion picture this season. And they had learned their lessons, and they were ready to make some noise. And here they are. Who would have thought in their wildest dreams that their number one, Alek Manoah, would have been the worst pitcher on that staff and sent down?
All right, Jays and Astros go at it again tonight in Game 2. One other baseball note, Jacob deGrom, who signed a $185 million free agent deal with Texas. Coming off, you know, a couple of really good years with the Mets. He's won a couple of Cy Youngs, but he's had his fair share of arm troubles as well. Tommy John surgery. They announced that yesterday. And when he talked about it, he said, well, you know, my aim is to be back somewhere toward the end of next season. Not the end of we all understand. Tommy John is major surgery. It's a year.
Yeah.
But he's now talking about like the second half of next year.
Wow.
as a time frame. And this is the second Tommy John surgery he's had. Yeah. He also did it back in 2010.
So. Yeah, amazing what teams do, even with the risk of an injury. And I guess nothing crazier than Kevin Garnett getting a mega free agent contract when he's going to sit out an entire year. And for Mr. DeGrom, yeah, very unfortunate, as you said, JR. That's a lot of payroll to be given to somebody. I wonder how that works in baseball. Whether or not they have the insurance kick in like they have in the National Hockey League.
I thought I saw something, and I was going to look it up last night, and I never ended up following up, that the Rangers did not have insurance on that contract.
Okay.
A lot of people were very critical of the fact that they decided against it.
I also wonder, and again, as an insurance company, would you be able to basically insure his arm, JR? I wonder if you could insure other injuries. But if you've already had Tommy John surgery and the risk of that, what kind of insurance premium are you going to be paying to that? Almost dollar for dollar. Mm. So that probably may be why they didn't end up getting it.
All right, so that's the baseball story. As far as football is concerned, the Red Blacks, as you mentioned, Simmer, did not practice outside yesterday because of the smoke, and because it's even worse today. I can't think they'll be outside again today. So maybe another walkthrough in the Cattle Castle, the Aberdeen Pavilion, is in order, which is, quite frankly, not a great way to be preparing for game one, but that's kind of where we're left at. They did announce yesterday, though, that it will be Nick Arbuckle starting at quarterback in the season opener on Saturday night in Montreal as Jeremiah Masoli continues to recover from his leg injury of last year. In fact, Masoli, they've ruled him out for the first 2 weeks, and after that, they've got a bye week. So if he's healthy, the earliest we're going to see Jeremiah Masoli is June 30th for a home game versus Edmonton. So he, in essence, has at least, it looks like, another month. And that will be a full year since he suffered the injury. Mm-hmm. So Nick Arbuckle starts at quarterback Saturday. He was part of our Red Blacks live quarterback club and radio show last night out at Buster's Bar and Grill. And here he is talking about finding out and prepping for the start week one.
I found out a couple days ago. I think it was on Saturday. But it's just been a normal process of, you know, getting ready to play the football season. I was the backup when I was in Calgary my first couple of years. And even in that role, you're always preparing as the starter. You're always, because you just know you're one play away. And it also is just how you approach the game. You don't want things to drastically change or be different from your routine all of a sudden when you are put in the lineup. So I do my best to always prepare the same way and prepare as if I'm going to take every snap from the first one.
All right, so there's part of what Nick Arbuckle had to say last night in conversation with Lee Versage. Lorenzo Maldon and Jalen Acklin were also part of the night last night. You can find all those interviews and lots of great stuff because it wasn't just all necessarily about football. There's a lot about their backstories, et cetera, and some great Ottawa stuff as well. You can find all those interviews on our website at tsn1200.ca.
Yeah, and easy guy to cheer for. And God, the whole story when he came to Ottawa never ended up playing, JR. But the reality is over the last couple of years, he's thrown 11 touchdowns and 20 interceptions, does not have much of a resume. And again, you kind of almost look past this, but for a team that's trying to hit the ground running, I'm going to be a lot of pressure. And I'm curious as to how much rope he's going to have in starting a key game against a Montreal team that's supposed to be one of the worst in the national, in the CFL, if not the worst. And then, of course, you have the home opener and the pressure to win at home. So it'll be a real interesting couple of weeks to see how the 29-year-old handles things.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. And now he does have, I mean, we could quibble with whether the offensive system under Paul Laplace the last couple of years, and Arbuckle didn't come to town, I guess, until the middle of last season. It's always it's always hard. Every football player and coach would tell you to walk in the middle of a season is very difficult. You're just not used to the systems and everything like that. And you just got to kind of, okay, get in there, kid, and do the best you can.
For sure.
He's starting this season right from the scratch with a new offensive coordinator in Kahari Jones.
Yeah.
So perhaps we will see a better Nick Arbuckle when he signed here in the first place as a free agent a few years ago now. There was a lot of promise and a lot of expectations. As you said, never ended up playing here in Ottawa after the pandemic canceled year. Ended up being moved along, came back last year, was quite frankly kind of so-so.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, they need him. You need two quarterbacks in the CFL, and especially, I mean, Jeremiah Masoli. I know he's been injury-prone, but the stat, he's only played in 20 of the 54 games that he's eligible to play for since 2019.
Wow.
20 out of 54. So he's suffered more than his fair share of injuries, and right now at 34, 35 years old, whatever he is, coming off another significant injury. there's no way if you're the Red Blacks, you're thinking anything but we got to have another guy that's ready to go because we just can't count on Masoli being there week after week.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, my oh my, we talk about that with quarterbacks, goaltenders, you know, all that stuff, and how pivotal it is, JR, and for a season where you just have to. You have to do something as a football club. Yeah, that is a high-risk situation because, quite simply, for Arbuckle, was not very good in Edmonton last year before he came into Ottawa, so you can't even just look at the whole Ottawa situation. Now, I will say, in getting some comfort, you know, getting your family comfortable, there's lots of other things that can factor in. And as you said, now a fresh start, and also even coming through training camp where you're the guy, right? I mean, that has to feel completely different. So hopefully it's a confidence level. We know it's a learning curve. Lots of stuff happened based on COVID, other things. And like I said, an easy guy to cheer for. So certainly hoping for good things when I turn on the TV tomorrow night and watch them in Montreal.
TSN had its CFL preview show on last night. So they had all the panelists there. Mm-hmm. And they did their Grey Cup predictions. Mm-hmm. Five panelists in total, including the host, Kate Burness. Mm-hmm. Two votes for Winnipeg to win the Grey Cup. One vote for Hamilton to win the Grey Cup. Mm-hmm. One vote for Toronto to win the Grey Cup. Mm-hmm. And the fifth vote was for Saskatchewan to win the Grey Cup. Okay. There were no votes for any of, even to make the Grey Cup game. No votes for the BC Lions. Mm-hmm. No votes, surprisingly, for the Calgary Stampeders. Mm-hmm. No votes for the Edmonton Elks. And no votes for the Ottawa Redblacks. Mm-hmm. I can't remember which of the panelists. Might have been Matt Dunnigan as Montreal going to the Grey Cup game.
Wow.
So, which it was a bit of a surprise given their offseason was had such upheaval.
Yeah.
But no Redblacks by any of the five panelists. Making the Grey Cup game, for what it's worth.
Well, and they certainly, as the insiders, now I know a couple of years ago, some people were kind of critical when they came out and said Red Blacks aren't going to be very good. And then I think that was the year the Red Blacks won their first two games, right? And everybody's like, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. And then they just went into a complete nosedive. And I just find it, and again, these guys are the experts. And the nice part is, Jared, because when we had Coach Dice on, you know, you're asking him, well, what about Montreal with all the changes? And as he said, hey, these coaches, it's a small league. You're pretty familiar. I think they're also familiar with the talent pool. What I guess must be incredibly interesting to go through, and you'll start at the quarterback, but the turnover in the league, I'm trying to forecast what the hell every team is about, it, especially in the East, right? I mean, it just feels like we go into every year with the same thing where you're kind of curious, well, it feels like it's Hamilton and really don't know much about Toronto, and Ottawa's turned over their roster, and who knows with Montreal. Feels like we've been reading this story here for a number of years when it comes to the CFL East.
All right, so the CFL season will kick off tomorrow with Thursday Night Football, and the Red Blacks will open on Saturday in Montreal versus the Alouettes, 7 o'clock kickoff, and of course live here on TSN 1200, your home for the Red Blacks. We'll open up the home schedule next Thursday, hosting the Calgary Stampeders. All right, 6:39, we're going to take a break when we come back. We're going to talk about the big hockey trade yesterday, the latest on, you're going to hear from Craig Button on Alex DeBrincat, possibility of him being traded, and also about the stunning news from the world of golf yesterday, the merger of the PGA Tour, the European Tour, and LIV Golf. Not often where I go, whoa, I didn't see that happening in sports, but that was a stunner yesterday, I think, for not only for me, but for a lot of sports fans. So anyway, we'll talk about what that all means as well and hear from the PGA Tour Commissioner, Jay Monahan, who's come under fire from his tour players for the decision to do this behind their back. We'll talk hear from him coming up next on TSN 1200. All right, we're back 6:42 on this smoky Wednesday morning. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. I mentioned that the air quality in Ottawa this morning, haven't been outside yet. It's worse today than it is yesterday. I mean, you don't even have to breathe in. You can just kind of look outside. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, we're at a 29 when we began the show. Good news. We're at 28 now.
Oh, nice. Huh?
Things are going in the right direction. All right, we'll get to the golf story in just a second. Hockey, of course, it is Game 3 of the Cup Final coming up tomorrow. Paul Maurice all but said Sergei Bobrovsky is going to start in Game 3. No huge surprise there. So not much else to say because yesterday was a flying day, so really no team availability to speak of. So the big news yesterday was a pretty significant trade. Certainly when you see three teams involved, that's always interesting. Flyers, Kings, and Blue Jackets are involved in this deal. Here's who ends up with what. Columbus gets Ivan Provorov, The defenseman from the Philadelphia Flyers, who's got 2 years left on his contract at $6.75 million per year. Now, L.A., as part of this three-way trade, retains 30% of that contract. So that's what Columbus ends up with. They get Provorov. The L.A. Kings essentially get cap space, is what they get out of this whole deal, because they get rid of Cal Peterson's contract. He's the goalie they signed to, I think it was a three-year, $15 million deal to be their goalie of the future. And he was so bad this past season, they sent him down to the minors to find his game. Kind of like what the Jays did with Manoah, only he never found his game.
and he's still got
2 years and $10 million left on that contract. Yeah. And they don't have a goalie right now, L.A. still. And they wanted to sign Gavrikov, the defenseman they got from Columbus as well. So they needed cap space. So they got rid of Sean Walker, the defenseman. They gave up some picks. They retained a little bit of money, but now they have some cap space. The Philadelphia Flyers end up with Cal Peterson, the goalie. They end up with defenseman Sean Walker. I think at one point last year there was talk he's a right-shot defenseman that maybe he'd be guy Ottawa would look at. Anyway, he goes to Philly, a prospect, along with LA's 2023 first-round pick, which Columbus had as part of the Korpisalo-Gavrikov deal, if you're following me, and also 2 second-round picks. So Philadelphia gets a lot of futures, which is kind of the mandate under Danny Briere, the new general manager, that they're going to turn over the roster, and it starts with Provorov being sent to Columbus. So as you kind of assess the deal, Simmer, what do you make of it? What's the one thing, if anything, that stands out?
Just interesting from an L.A. standpoint. You hear Gavrikov's name wanted to sign him. Also wonders as it relates to Korpisalo. And everybody's raving about Daniel Briere. As we know, selling off is a lot easier than recouping. Provorov, 7th pick overall, never quite reached his prime, but I do think in Columbus, I do think under Mike Babcock, going to be very interesting to see where he ends up going. So I like what Columbus is doing. I think they're fast-tracking and a sign for Philly. And now we hear the Carter Hart rumors and some of the things there. Sounds like old Mr. Peterson's your perfect goaltender if you want to be a lottery team. So it looks like the Philadelphia Flyers, quite simply, JR, are going into an absolute true rebuild, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, which they have pretty much never done.
No, they never have. Yeah, they've always resisted it. And, you know, back to the pre-cap days, you could buy an Eric Lindros and you could do different things and some real good drafting at different times. Carter and Richards, Claude Drew, been some things that have kind of saved them. But when you look at the team, and unfortunately under Chuck Fletcher, there is no clear vision. And I kind of wondered when this was saying there, you know, initially, well, we're just going to kind of retool. We've got some good pieces. And then they decided, nope, just completely blow it up. Man, I think that's the way to go. So good for the Philadelphia Flyers, Keith Jones and Daniel Briere.
Of course, Columbus, in addition to getting Provorov, is also going to be getting Zach Werenski back. And he missed pretty much all of last year. If you're wondering why, you know, part of the reason why it was so bad in Columbus last year, there's a lot of different factors. But he's one of the best young defensemen in the NHL, and he missed pretty much the entire season. So they're counting on Provorov, finding his game. It was not that long ago where people talked about him as being one of the better young defensemen in the game. His play has fallen off. There was all the controversy with him not taking part in the Pride Night warm-up with the Flyers. You know, that can't help but affect you, especially when you're in a losing environment to begin with. So, you know, often a new place is a fresh start, and he gets Babs as his as his new coach in Columbus. So we'll see what comes of that. And for the LA Kings, as you mentioned, the ability now with a little bit of extra money to sign Gavrikov and to find a goalie as well, whether it's signing Korpisalo or another unrestricted free agent goalie. Or now, you mentioned Carter Hart because some of the Philly writers after this trade went down said, well, Carter Hart's going to be the next domino to fall.
Yeah.
And some suggested it may be coming soon. That did not happen.
No.
But, you know, various insiders, including Darren Dreger, are saying that Carter Hart is absolutely in the discussions as far as a trade goes. And you know, you mentioned Buffalo, which was interesting to me. I think with Devon Levi, that they're going to trade for Carter Hart.
Yeah, I really do, Jerry. Really? I don't. You know, again, I think Devon Levi's come in and played great, but I don't think Buffalo once again this year can chance it. You know, and Levi came in when the team was there was some pressure, I guess. But yeah, I still think that's an absolute unknown with him. You know, with Luukkonen kind of slow to boil. Yeah, I'd still look at that and say, hey, you know. But I was just kind of trying to look at teams also, and I say this. And again, I know it's a very touchy subject. Nobody on the 2018 World Junior team, as it relates to the Hockey Canada investigation, Unfortunately, everybody is cast. Though, you know, Carter Hart wasn't allowed to play for Canada, or I assume he would have played in the World Championships. I'm a little surprised that anybody's on the move until we see where this investigation goes.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying
he was a member of that team.
Yeah, and I'm not saying anything towards anybody. I'm not, but I, you know, to me, if you're doing your due diligence and understanding, we have no idea who's involved, how this is going to play out. Obviously, you connect the dots, call Alex Forman to do not play in the National Hockey League for a full year. So to me, that's something to really keep an eye on. But I was just, any team that you could point to that you'd say that this is where Carter Hart would be going?
No.
Yeah.
No, I, you know, when I saw the name yesterday and, you know, I think Ottawa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm not saying they're the number one destination, but if I'm Pierre Dorion and Carter Hart is out there, I'm picking up the phone and I'm at least gauging what they're looking for in return. And Carter Hart, 2 years ago in the pandemic shortened year, was terrible.
Yeah.
Last couple of years been a bit better, but that Flyer team has been so bad
that
it's really, but his numbers have been a little bit better.
Yeah.
It was not that long ago where he was backstopping Canada for two straight years at at the World Juniors and was seen as, in some circles, the best young goalie prospect in the game. Mm. He's still only 24 years old, about to turn 25, which is...
Yeah.
You know, a lot of goalies don't hit their rhythm till they're late 20s.
Oh,
so
for
there's
sure,
still
for sure.
a lot of promise there. And if you if you have a goalie coach and you're a believer, I would still be a believer in Carter Hart.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the reasons Ron Hextall lost his job was wanting to keep him in the minors. At least that was some of the conflict. God, you could look at Pittsburgh. You know, you look at a lot of teams that I guess would be interested in him. And from an Ottawa perspective, that would be an interesting situation. And people are talking about DeBrincat and everything else. I don't know how you work that out that quickly. We'll see.
The Flyers aren't looking at DeBrincat.
No, but in a three-way trade.
Another three-way.
About, exactly.
Danny Briere came in a three-way.
Yeah, getting her going. Yeah. And then, you know, the obvious when you look at that from an Ottawa perspective, you know, I'm assuming if you're looking at futures, I wouldn't think if Mr. Gregg's dad is still employed by the Philadelphia Flyers, which I'm not sure. That would be at the top of the list what the Philadelphia Flyers would be looking for, along with some futures.
All right. So that was the big trade in the National Hockey League yesterday. We'll see what comes from today. All right. The other big story yesterday, and this was an absolute stunner. In fact, we were sitting in the old green room after after the show yesterday. And, Hammer, I don't know where you went off to, but you walked back in and said, oh, LIV Golf has just merged with the PGA.
He was on the horn with his golf insider.
Exactly, that's
he said,
exactly.
He just wanted to take the call.
And I'm like, what? Like, it's not often where I'm like, I did not see that coming. And I don't think anybody who's been following this whole, if you're a golf fan, you've been following this. There's nobody that saw that happening. And the reason nobody saw that happening in such short order is how, as the story emerges from yesterday, how small the circle of people involved in this decision was. It appears like it was about four people, and that did not even include Greg Norman, who's been heading up the LIV Tour, running the LIV Tour. He was apparently not informed until just before it was announced at 10 o'clock yesterday morning. Yeah. So it was a stunner from the world of golf, but LIV and the PGA are breaking bread once again. They've had a lot of, there was a lawsuit and a countersuit that were underway, and a lot of people are thinking that part, if not a majority of the impetus to getting a deal done is that neither, and I don't pretend to know how the U.S. judicial system works, but there was a lot of concern on all sides about having to open up books and reveal emails and everything else that's been going on while this fight has been going on in the world of golf, and that neither side wanted these things to become public, and that may have been part of the reason why this thing was moved so quickly ahead, let alone that at the end of the day, we all know the only people that would have got rich if this fight would have continued is the lawyers.
Yeah.
So what did you what'd you make of it, when, especially as you heard all the reaction through the day yesterday?
No, a surprise on the timing, JR, but I just understand when this story originally broke. I worked in the KHL, and when people start being critical about where money's coming from, you understand the way the world works, and at the end of the day, cash is king. What's also interesting, it'd be really curious, because as going into a profit organization that they're going to turn into, well, everything is sealed at that point, right? Nonprofit organizations, generally, your books and your salaries and everything else has to be public and has to be shown as far as the bottom line. This thing now is just a massive cover-up as to who's getting the money. And, yeah, for the players that stayed on the PGA Tour and, you know, who held the line and wanted to be pro-PGA and kind of pro-American, Yeah, it's a very unfortunate for them. Now, I will also say, and this is the part of in any sport, when salaries go up, well, obviously the purses are going to go up for the players. There's going to be a lot of people, kind of big picture, at least initially, that are going to benefit from this. The unfortunate is when you have a Tiger Woods turning down $700 or $800 million, Rory McIlroy turning down, I'm assuming, what, $200 or $300 million?
$500 million.
$500 million. You know, you're going to be a bitterman for the rest of your life here. So, like I said, the timing, as you said, Jer, it just reeks as a cover-up. I mean, that's as simple as that. I mean, you're just trying to get this done, seal it up, get your cash, and on your way.
I wonder at the end of the day whether the ultimate fallout from this, from the player's point of view, because, yeah, the Rory McIlroys, the Justin Thomases, the John Rahms of the world, and Rory McIlroy in particular, like he was the face of, I'm standing up for the tour. Yeah. I'm not going to go to play LIV Golf despite the $500 million they're willing to. And he was very vocal about it, mm-hmm. and was vocal up. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of people thought about a month or so ago, he essentially said, I'm done talking about it. It's mm-hmm. starting to affect my game. Mm-hmm. And people kind of took it at face value of, okay, he wants to concentrate on golf. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's but we get that. But a lot of people now kind of connecting the dots a little bit and going, yeah. I wonder if he was tipped a little bit that you know, this possibly, because Jay Monahan, the PGA Tour commissioner, said these talks started about 7 weeks ago and culminated a couple of nights ago with the agreement. And whether Rory McIlroy was given the heads up of, look, there may be a merger here coming.
Yeah.
And he's just like, but anyway, at the end of the day, he and you know, the other big names that had the opportunity to mm-hmm. jump mm-hmm. and make, you know, mm-hmm. I don't even call it life change, whatever, generational changing money. At the end of the day, they don't, I mean, they're going to get more money. Yeah. But the Phil Mickelsons and the Brooks Koepkas and the Dustin Johnsons of the world, these are the guys that are laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah, they really
because
are.
Because they were told, well, if you leave, you're going to get all the money, but you're never going to be able to play. You're never going to get back on the tour again. Yeah. And, you know, we'll see what the details are. They were a little cagey about it yesterday, but it looks like they're going to have to pay some sort of fine. which will probably be fairly minuscule compared to the money they made, and they'll be back on the tour at some point.
Yeah. And the first break or chink in the armor, JR, was the fact they could play in the majors, right? You know, that was the first one. You're like, really? Okay, so I get all this money. And to me, that's what I said.
Because the majors are their own entity.
Well,
PGA Tour doesn't run the majors.
But at the time, again, that's what a career is made on, winning majors. Nobody knows how many tournaments in Ohio or Texas or other places you end up winning. But the other part, when you go back to the story, though, it wasn't just about standing tall for the PGA Tour. This is blood money. Yep. This is the Saudis. How dare you take the money from them? And it just like, listen, okay, I understand that. If you're taking organized crime money, like you're directly linked to the murders of people, okay, but be very careful in understanding when you trail sports and who owns sports teams all over the world. If that's where you're going to, you know, kind of
make draw your moral line.
Well, exactly. And and make your stand, man. Like, okay, that's fine. That's you. That's on you. But you just understand. And we're seeing in soccer now. And now you're seeing in golf at the end of the day that, hey, you know what? A lot of people are, and, you know, people saying, well, are you willing to look in the mirror? You know, as I said, if you want to trace every paycheck around the world and understand where your money's coming from, you know, I'd be awfully careful when it comes to that kind of stuff.
You don't have to peel away many layers of the onion to find how a lot of the major sponsors that are involved in golf, it's all intertwined, and there are a lot of connections to the Saudi Investment Fund. In fact, I had no idea. So RBC, good old Canadian bank, right? Royal Bank of Canada. That's you know, made a real big foray into the world of golf, right? Sponsors and has sponsored a bunch of players, sponsored the Canadian Open, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't know until I heard yesterday that they actually were the bank. And I don't know how business works. I'm a business guy. Yeah. But the IPO, so the Saudi oil company is called Aramco, right? That, you know, obviously worth billions and billions and hundreds of billions of dollars. Yeah. The Royal Bank of Canada is who, and I don't even know the terminology, but the IPO, when it came to market or whatever, was done through the Royal Bank of Canada.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
there we are. I mean, that's peeling away one layer of the onion.
I
it's right there. Like, okay, Rory McIlroy, and I'm not criticizing him. I really like that guy, and I like everything about that guy.
Yeah.
But he's playing in the, you know, RBC Canadian Open. And RBC, you know, they've got ties to the Saudis.
Yeah.
And so How are you going to moralize that if you can? And I don't, and this is the difficulty for him now, right? It's you took your stand and said, I'm not going to, I'm going to stand up for the tour.
Yeah.
But I think in essence also saying that is, to use your term and a lot of people's term, blood money.
Yeah.
Well, now you're essentially, the Saudis have bought, what they did yesterday is they bought professional men's golf.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
And I guess also to him, I just feel bad. I don't know if he was misled, but again, in wanting to take the charge. And as I said, you get wrapped up in much of the politics of it. And like I said, I do at the end of the day, kind of. Yeah. I just feel bad for him. That's all.
Here is PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan speaking yesterday that the players that remained with the tour, the Rory McIlroys of the world, will be better off even though they didn't go.
It probably didn't seem this way to them, but as I look to our players, those players that have been loyal to the PGA Tour, I'm confident that the move that they've made the right decision. They've helped re-architect the future of the PGA Tour. They've moved us to a more pro-competitive model. We have significantly invested, as I just talked to Brendan about, in our business in 23. We're going to do so in 24. And as we finalize this process, I think any player that has stayed is going to realize that the money that they're going to make, the strength of this platform, all the things that we talk about are going to put them in a really strong position. They're going to win. They're going to continue to grow.
Yeah. So one of the things, and there was a follow-up question to that, mm-hmm. and one of the reporters asked Jay Monahan, like, are you going to make some of these, you know, high profile players who didn't jump ship, are you going to make them whole? I.e., is the tour, and I guess through the Saudis, the investment fund, are you going to pay Rory McIlroy, if 500 million is right, and maybe it wouldn't be 500 million, but are you going to pay him $250 million to say, sorry about that, bud. Sorry we had to sell you down the river. Here's some, or maybe they will pay him all of the money that they would have made, that he would have made had he jumped ship. That's one of the, and Jay Monahan did not dismiss that idea.
Wow.
In fact, I won't say that he endorsed it, but he said that certainly will be one of the discussions we're having as they, he says they have a framework of an agreement right now to merge, but there's a lot of details that still have to be worked out, but that's one of the things that will be discussed.
Yeah, it'll be discussed, and then it won't happen. I just bought up golf. Why am I paying you $250 million to be part of something that I already own? Good luck, bud. I don't see that happening. This guy's so full of crap. He's getting paid himself, JR. Like, honestly, what would be the logic? Hey, I just bought your tour. Now I'm going to give you $250 million that you turned down before. Can you explain that to me?
No, but maybe you want a happy employee.
Oh, I don't,
you're trying to make the you have so the Saudis have so much money.
No,
that investment fund.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Has $660 billion dollars.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
To make Rory McIlroy. And if Justin Thomas was offered money and John Rahm or whatever,
where do you stop?
Well, there weren't that many guys that didn't jump ship that would have made significant dollars.
Yeah, I'd like to know.
They weren't, like Mackenzie Hughes.
Yeah, for sure.
Right, was probably not offered money to go to live tour. If he was, it was an insignificant amount.
Jason Day.
If you add it all up, maybe it's between the top guys. Maybe it's $1 billion. Well, you got $660 billion.
I know. I'm just asking.
Scratching out a check for $1 billion to make sure they're happy. If that's what makes them happy, that's just the price you have to pay, maybe.
Yeah,
I wouldn't dismiss it.
Yeah, I'd just say I don't have to pay any price. But I just ask them where you draw the line. And if I'm on the PGA Tour, and I don't care, how do you deem where the person that's getting all the money? Why are we not all getting money? Like, if you're part of the tour, and then also to the part of, well, the guys will, hey, the key word there is you have to win. There'll be more money if you win.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, I said, we'll see how it plays out here. I just find that real peculiar that I need to give, you know, X amount of guys money. Hey, you didn't come along last time. You lost out. The leagues have merged, and now let's see what ends up happening. And as far as trying to keep you happy, what is your option now?
Yeah. You know? Well, that is the other. And I think I said it off the top. I don't think I expanded on it. There is some talk among some of wondering whether, spearheaded by Tiger. I mean, and his playing career is probably over. But if you're looking for somebody who could go out into the corporate community, raise a whole lot of money, and start a breakaway tour, if Tiger Woods is sitting across the desk from you and saying to FedEx, scratch me out a check for $100 million and you can headline our new tour, And oh, by the way, I'm bringing Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas and Scottie Scheffler and John Rahm, et cetera, onto this new breakaway tour. I don't know. Anything is possible. I didn't see yesterday coming.
Sure. Yeah, so. No, I agree. I just, again, trying to put these things together, and I understand totally what you're saying.
I could see out of all this is golfers wanting to unionize.
Or something.
You'd be some sort of association.
And early on, you'd be so pissed off. I mean, I totally understand where you'd be talking about the breakaway, but then you'd understand, just like all the other, North American sports on when leagues break away or somebody starts up something new. Well, they tend to either fall apart or ultimately they end up merging back with the other league. It's really, really tough to put together. But I understand if you're waking up yesterday or today as a golfer, I mean, yeah, you feel like a complete idiot.
All right, your thoughts on anything that you heard there, or your thoughts on when you heard the news yesterday on the merger of LIV and the PGA? You can share it. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN1200. It's a really fascinating story, and there's lots more to be written on this as well. This will not come into play until the end of this coming golf, into this season, so 2024, and what will become of all of it? It's a completely potentially reshaped tour. There will be more money. What's to make of the Canadian Open? Gets completely overshadowed again. Last year, it was the first week that the LIV actually played when the Canadian Open was on. And of course, this year, the news of the merger on Canadian Open week. We'll talk to TSN golf analyst Bob Weeks, who's at the Canadian Open down in Toronto. He'll give us his thoughts on this coming up after 9 o'clock this morning. We'll take a break. Top of the hour news and sports update is on the way. Hour two is around the corner coming up next here on TSN 1200.